listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Well, praise the Lord. Tonight we're going to talk about being a surthriver. Not a survivor, but a surthriver. Because there is a difference. Many times in our walk with God and our relationship, and for many Christians, what is wrong with my iPad here? It's going crazy on me. In our relationship with God, we get into a survival mode. And God didn't call us to survive. He called us to thrive. But there are moments and there are times. This thing's going crazy on me. I'm going to have to break my computer out. There are moments and times in our walk with God when we feel like we're surviving. And it's important that we kind of step back, refocus ourselves, and look at some real important things. Guys, am I going in and out on this? Am I? Look at some very important things that will enable us. I'm not going to fight with that all through service. So excuse me just a moment. Always have a backup plan. It's important for us to, to be able to have some direction to know what to do. You know, when you, before you get into a bad situation, it's better to have a plan when you get there. You know what I'm saying? Instead of trying to work it out when you get there and try to figure it out when you get there, have a plan. And so I want to give you some things tonight that will kind of help you kind of think about things that will enable you as you go through life to be a thriver, not just a survivor. And so I want to just share some of those things with you tonight. We're going to try to finish up a little early, so we're going to dive right in, which I still got plenty of time. Praise God. You can go ahead and dim that out, Justin, because I'll walk back and forth through it. So thanks to Katie for putting this together and the video. She did a great job. It's nice having media-capable people in the family. So how to stay on track when life's not easy? Just like our planet goes through seasons, you're going to go through seasons in your own personal life, in your walk with God. There's going to be those springtimes when everything is bright. Fresh blooms, everything smells good, everything works, everything comes together. And then it goes into summer and things are trucking along and things are busy and life's going. But somewhere along the way, sometimes things overheat and maybe kind of fall apart or you face difficulty. Or it goes into a time of a fall season when things begin to kind of taper off, and then you hit a winter, and it may go into a real deep winter season where things stay kind of cold for a long time. You ever been in one of those times where you're just like, man, where did God go? You ever been in those seasons? And Chris and I have walked through a number of those in our personal life, and I can't say that some hadn't been real recent, because they have been. And so these are just some lessons that we've kind of learned throughout this journey. We just celebrated 24 years of marriage. And that's been a real journey in itself, probably because I needed to do so much changing because she was already perfect. So so she's been singing that song, I Will Survive, for a long time. So no doubt there. But when we first got married, we really had no clue, me especially. We just didn't have any idea about what it meant to be married, had no examples. I had grown up in a divorced home, and Chris had grown up in an alcoholic home, and so we kind of brought that baggage into our marriage, and the only thing we had going was Jesus. And I'm thankful because that was our survival, and then God gave us people to mentor and help us to think through our life and just as we walk through the journey. And there's been a lot of people throughout history and throughout your Bible that has faced a lot of these things. Moses walked through a long valley after leaving Egypt and had to deal with murmuring, complaining, and groaning, just a lot of different times of despair and frustration. David, pursued by his enemies. You read all throughout the Psalms over and over again. David, he's like you read one psalm, and he's on top of the world. And you read the next psalm, and he's at the bottom of the world. You know, he just kind of goes through this fluctuation. And I'm not going to be critical of that at all, because I'm that way many times. This one day, man, I'm praying and everything's awesome. That thing's like shrinking in me. I'm like, man, I'm getting taller here. and then the next day, it's like, man, what happened? You know, we have this old saying, you know, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Well, which side of the bed is the right side? You know, just if you could try to decide that and get up on that side every morning, you could probably do all right. I guess I probably just need to leave that down there. Also, Elijah, if you read the story when he was right after one of the greatest miracles of his career, if you ever read the story about Elijah on Mount Carmel and just seeing God do tremendous things there. I mean, just God showed up, brought the fire down, killed all the prophets of Baal. And then just a few chapters after that, boom, he's just sitting out saying, I'm the only one. You ever felt that way? I'm the only one that's doing anything right. And then, of course, Jesus faced the cross, and we see there in the Garden of Gethsemane where he dealt with that low moment of his life and worked to make decisions through that moment. And then also the apostles face disappointment and difficulties. And we all go through those times. We're going to face those. If you're going to live in this life, in the reality of this life, you're going to go through those moments. And don't put a lot of stock. And I'm not being critical of this. I just want you to understand my heart. I get very leery of people when you ask them how they're doing. It's always some kind of really spiritual answer. Now, I'm cool with that. I'm not being critical. I'm cool with that. I'm fine. You know, I believe in faith, and we trust God, and we speak words of faith and things like that. I'm okay. But you know, sometimes it's all right to just say, it's just tough right now. It's not a lack of faith to say, I'm having a hard time. It's not a lack of faith to say, I'm really struggling right now, and I need you to pray for me. That's not a lack of faith. Now, sometimes I've seen folks that just, they're like, oh, I just speak blessing all the time. So how are you doing? I'm blessed. Yeah, I see that. Your kids are on drugs, and your life's falling apart, and this is going downhill, and this is going, but I'm blessed, you know. And I know, I understand that in our life and our relationship with God, we are blessed. But it's okay to live in reality and believe God and have people connect with your life to pray over. Did you want to say something, Gerald?
I just know that, you know, because I've heard this, there's a fine line, because you don't want, you know, I believe in being honest, but you don't want, you know, some people feel like, well, am I speaking cursing on my life? You know, but I believe the Lord will heal me, but if I'm sick, and somebody asks me, how are you doing? You know, because I know some people that anytime you say anything, what they feel like is negative. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're just putting curses on your life.
No, yeah.
Not really. I'm just telling you how it is right now.
That's it.
The
fine line comes in this, when you begin to speak negative. To say that I'm having a tough day, that's not speaking negative. That's just saying I'm having a tough day. If I was going to speak negative over my life, I'd say I'm having a tough day and it's never going to get better. That's negative, and that's speaking curses over my life. Jesus himself, when he was in the garden, what did he do? He called the guys together. He says, you know, I'm going to be going over here to pray. He says, I want you to pray with me because it's really tough right now. Now, if our own Savior does that, it's okay for us to do that. And we see all throughout the Scriptures where we see people connecting with one another, saying, living in reality of where they're at and coming before God and praying through their situation. And so I'm going to talk a little bit more about that, and we'll kind of deal with some of the issues about negativity and things like that. So I'm sorry, I didn't hand these out. I get a couple of you guys to help me out here. If you want to help, babe, that's fine. Thanks to Beverly for fixing those up for me. I didn't intend her to do them in color, but it's pretty awesome that they're in color, so that's great. So there's some things in our life that we can do, and I want to just share five quick things with you tonight that we can do in order to walk through these times and to walk through these moments of life and to face difficulty and to face hardship and still come out thriving on the end. Because this is the goal. The goal that you and I want to have is that when we get on the other side of that, we want to be better. We want to have learned lessons. So we want to have gained in wisdom. And then we want to be able to use what we've learned to invest in the life of somebody else. Guys, you will never go through anything in your life with God that He will not use to touch somebody else with. When you think about your life, and this is really, I've really had to work in just changing my mindset over the last number of years. Because I'll be honest with you, most Christians are selfish. I mean, just be reality with that, because when you spend time with God and you come to church and you do things with God, most of the time we're coming because I want something from God or I need something from God. Now, it's cool to have and to obtain and to get from God, but anytime you get something from God, what does God expect you to do with what He gives you? Exactly. The principle of giving works in every area of your life. So think about that. That's the reason why. If you go through Next Steps, and I hope everybody in here goes through Next Steps. We've got new classes starting, and if you haven't been through any of those classes yet, it'd be a great time. The very last section of Next Steps is called Invest. Because we want you to understand what the vision of not only Gateway is, but what we believe God says in His Word and has called us to be as believers, called to invest in the lives of other people. Whatever you have is meant to be given away. Why? Okay. There's lots of reasons, but I was just kind of throwing that out there, just to let you kind of respond. But One is because you want to bless and minister the lives of other people. But who wants more from God? Well, then give away what you got. If you want more from God, be a greater giver. If you want to expand your spiritual walk with God, well, then give away what you know in your spiritual life by investing in somebody else through reaching the lost and ministering, sharing your faith, sharing your testimony, sharing your story, teaching the class, working in areas of ministry and serving. Give those things away and God will expand your life. It will happen. That's just the way God works. So let's think about this for just a moment. Let's think about some lessons or some things that we can learn in order to make our moments, our difficult moments of life, not surviving but thriving, to make them fruitful and productive. So the first thing that I would encourage you to do in order to make those moments what they need to be is that you need to be a part of a life-giving community. And these are not just things I'm giving to you tonight. These are things that you can share with other people. Because you guys come out on Wednesday nights in the middle of a storm, it's probably safe to say that you're a part of this church and you're a part of our family. And this is what this is. This is a life-giving community. That we come and we're encouraging one another and we build up one another and we pray for one another and we stand with one another. Not just what happens on Wednesday night or on Sunday, but you can call somebody during the week and say, hey, I need this. I need you to pray for me during this time and walk with me through this time. And that we have relationships that we're connected and our life becomes intertwined. We are a life-giving community. Now, what's the opposite of a life-giving community? A life-sucking community, okay? All right, a life-sucking community. You know, that's what I call it, you know, because sometimes you're in those situations when you just hear this loud sucking sound going on, you know, and you just feel it just being pulled out of your life, you know, just junk. And you may face those situations and be in those. It may be on your job. It may be in different relationships of people that you have to be around from time to time. And you need to be in a place on a regular basis where you're around people that are life-giving. So let's think about that for just a moment. What does it mean for me to be life-giving? It would be simply this. When people spend time with me and they walk away from my life, they need to feel like they got something that was refreshing. So that might be through an encouraging word. It might be through just a pat on the back. It might be through a hug. It might be through just a word of blessing that I just speak into somebody's life. You know, it might just be like, I'll just give this an example because you always talk about your relationship with your wife because that's usually the closest one. Chris walked in Sunday morning, and I looked at her, and I said, man, babe, you look great. You look really good. I love that dress on you. Well, what did that do for her? Immediately, she put a smile on her face. It made her feel good, you know? You know? It encouraged her. You see, that's being life-giving. Life-giving. Now, when we're spending time with one another and we're interacting as a body, our conversation needs to be this way. If you haven't seen somebody all week, you know, well, man, speak blessing over them. Man, you know, speak blessing. We missed Dave on Sunday, and we know that he was ministering to his family, and we've been praying for Dave and his family and just knowing that God was going to give them strength through these moments. But we're glad Dave's here tonight. We missed you, Dave, because you're a great blessing. So, you see, guys, and I know that Justin's really glad that you're here tonight. Yeah, and so that was the first thing I did. Sunday morning, I walked off the platform. I walked by Justin, and I pointed out, I said, man, you're doing a great job. Because he was. Because nobody knew how difficult his shoes were Sunday morning if you didn't know the technical difficulties we were having and what was going on in the middle of service. And so being life-giving, I didn't need to walk back there and say, Justin, it's about time you got that together. He already had the stress telling him that already. He didn't need something else sucking from him. Instead, he needed something that was encouraging, that was building up, that was life-giving. And so we need to kind of think this way because it's very easy for us as Christians, it's very easy for us in any area of our life that we get kind of confused about what's going on and we miss sometimes the moments that God calls us to speak life into other people. And so in order for that to happen, we have to continually have life coming into us. And so we're going to talk about how we do that. So if you got your Bibles there and you want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Pastor Gabriel is asking, did we cancel church? No. Why, no, we didn't. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do right now. Preaching. Now. Okay. All right, so 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 4 through 7. And Paul's sharing some things with the Corinthian church, and I want you to listen to what he has to say. He says, I've spoken to you with great frankness. Now, he had to be straight with us about some stuff. But he says, I've taken great pride in you, and I'm greatly encouraged in all our troubles. My joy knows no bounds. So what's happening is that he had dealt with an issue. He had sent a letter. But he's in the middle of some struggles himself. But when word gets back to him, it refreshes his life because of how the Corinthian church responded. He says, when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn, conflicts on outside, fears within. But God who comforts the downcast comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. He told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, and your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. You guys hear that? Chapter 7. Is that right? Okay. So I want you to hear what's happening is that Paul is receiving this encouragement in the midst of a very difficult moment because he's hearing that a word that he shared is being obeyed. Isn't it pretty cool if you've had kids and you may have raised your kids or you may have kids now, when somebody tells you about how good your kids are obeying, that just makes you feel good on the inside. You know, because you're like, man, they're getting it finally, you know. After 27 years, that's it, yeah. Go on down in verse, if you jump down to verse 13 in that same chapter, He says, by all this, we're encouraged. In addition to our own encouragement, we were especially delighted to see how happy Titus was, because his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. I had boasted to him about you, and you have not embarrassed me. But just as everything we said to you was true, so our boasting about you to Titus has proved to be true as well. And his affection for you is all the greater when he remembers you, that you all were obedient. Receiving him with fear and trembling, I am glad I can have complete confidence in you. Isn't that really cool? That connection that he has and that encouragement is going on. You see, that's being part of a life-giving community. That we're refreshing one another. That we're sharpening one another. That we're building up one another. I want to tell you something. If you've ever listened to Joyce Meyer, she's got an old saying that says, an ounce of correction will cost you a pound of relationship. You understand that? An ounce of correction will cost you a pound of relationship. Now, there are times when correction is necessary. But you better make sure you have enough relationship in order to be able to spend the pound to get across the ounce. You follow what I'm saying? So you have to be making deposits into the lives of people on a regular basis, especially if you're in any form of leadership. And this would not only go along with your kids and your family and your mate, but people that you're leading or serving with. Be very careful about taking those moments when you have to give some correction to make sure you've made enough deposits that you can make a withdrawal. You ever tried to write a check that had no money on it? I hope not, because now it's against the law. It just doesn't work. It ends up costing you more in the end, right? Because you got to pay the fees and pay the, you know, and if your bank happens to pay it for you, you got to pay them a fee and the other bank a fee and all this other stuff goes on. So it'll always cost you in the end. So make sure you've got enough in deposit if you're going to make a withdrawal. In his book, Life-Giving Church, he says this about small groups. He says, small groups teach us how to apply the lessons we've learned in our walk with Christ to our family relationships, to our public lives. Honest friendships keep us from being deceived or becoming hypocritical. I can attest that my friends sharpen me and help me to see my blind spots. I would go so far as to say that my small groups are the strength of the local church. They keep it from evolving into a simple religious organization and keep it functioning as a life-giving body, linked together with the sinew of positive relationships. Isn't that good? That's the reason why at Gateway we believe in small groups. We believe in you meeting together outside of regular service times and connecting with people. See, that's great when you got battery. I don't even have to show up. I even got a light. See, you can sit in the dark and we can still go on. That's it. Light giving, that's right. So small group communities are really important, and that's the reason why we believe in those. It's not a new concept. It's a New Testament concept. It's actually an Old Testament concept about small groups of connecting and relationship. And so if you're not a part of a small group, we really encourage you to be a part or to start one. That works out as well, too. So I want to share with you three main elements we receive by being part of a life-giving community. The first is this, encouragement. You know what the word encouragement means? Simply this, to give courage. To give courage. So when you encourage somebody, you're giving them courage in that moment. You're helping them with courage to see the right perspective. Chris and I were in Atlanta on Saturday spending the day with the Thai pastor and his wife that we worked with in Thailand. They were at a conference in Atlanta, so we drove over to spend the afternoon with them. And I'll be honest with you, I was just having a tough day. It's been a tough week, been a tough month. Probably been a tough year, but I'm just teasing. But it was so encouraging, because many times missionaries have the perspective, you know, I'm the missionary, I'm the savior of kind of thing for the moment. And I never, I'm really thankful that I never had that perspective. Because I'll be honest with you, when I was in Thailand, he was my pastor. And I was a part of his church, and I was doing a campus ministry. We were planting campus ministry out of his church, and I had a team that we were working with. But he was my pastor. And I looked at him that way, and he's an awesome man of God. And he's planted seven churches and has seven daughter churches under him now. And he ministers all over Thailand as well as in different countries. And God's really using him in a tremendous way. And we just spent the day with him, and I've always been transparent with him. And we left that day with just a great encouraging word. And then he sent me an email in the middle of this week. And if I had time, I'd read you the email right now. But just encouraging. And he wrote it all in English as well, which was really cool. I mean, I can read Thai, but it was really cool that he took the time to sit down and think it through and write it all out in English. It blessed me. It blessed me tremendously. Matter of fact, it literally changed the course of my feelings at that moment and brought me back to where I needed to be. It was that much of an encouragement. You see, guys, that's how we can be in the lives of people. God wants to use you that way. And that's why it's important that we make sure that as we journey through this thing, that we're a part of life-giving communities. One thing that really is easy for us to do, and it happens to all of us, when you're feeling bad, you just want to stay away from people. Am I right? I mean, we're all that way. I get that way. You know, man, I just don't want to be around anybody right now. And I understand that. I may not be in a big crowd or something like that or in a big place. But it's important that you have relationships in your life that you can be around people and be real with them. I've got some buddies that are in ministry, and it's not a problem if I call them on the phone and I just tell them about how bad of a day I've had. It's cool. And they can do the same thing because we have that relationship of accountability and respect with one another. So the first thing is encouragement. The second thing is, I just mentioned it, accountability. If you want to grow, be accountable. If you don't want to grow, don't be accountable. That's simply that. If you want to go forward in your walk with God, be accountable to somebody. Give somebody permission to ask the tough questions. How's your devotional life? How are you treating your wife? Tell me about your relationship. What's God sharing with you this week? Tell me about where you're at in your prayer life. Somebody that you can connect with that can ask the tough questions. Because it's all right to be transparent with somebody that loves you and cares about your life. It'll only help you grow. And then it'll keep you accountable. You're like, man, they're going to ask me today, so I better spend some time with God. So I can say, yeah, bless God. I'm serious. Don't just do it for that reason. Let me give you a good reason to do your devotions. Don't do your devotions for yourself. Do them for other people. Because God's going to put you in a position to share something with somebody tomorrow. So have something fresh. Anybody ever grow up with a grandma that loved to cook? Maybe you like to cook. My great-grandmother was an awesome cook, and nobody ever came to her house and left hungry. And even if you didn't want to eat and you came to her house, you still ate anyhow. Because she was always prepared. Every meal, she made biscuits and cornbread from scratch. Every meal. And always had at least two different types of meat on the table, even if it was just bacon as one of them. She was amazing. Because she was prepared, not only in her thinking, but in a refrigerator, for any moment if somebody came to make a deposit into somebody's life through a meal. Because that was how she blessed people. That's how she shared love with people. And so you think about that in your own walk with God, that it's very important that you get things from God on a regular basis so that you have things in reserve when the moment comes that you can speak life into somebody else. Well, man, I was just praying and I was reading this in my Bible. Maybe this will minister to you, and God just kind of spoke this into my life, and I just want to share this with you right now. Fresh. Nobody likes to eat stuff that's stale and old. Fresh. Fresh alive inside of you. So do your devotions. to minister to other people. The third thing is, first is encouragement, second is accountability. The third thing kind of goes along with it, but support. Sometimes you need an Aaron and a Hur. If you know the story, those two guys that held up Moses' arms in the middle of the battle. You need people to come alongside you to give you support in the midst of tough moments. And so being a part of a life-giving community provides that. And that's why it's so important for us to be a part of these things. So we better move on. Second thing is this, is renew and keep your mind renewed through maintaining spiritual disciplines. Renew and keep your mind renewed. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercy, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. In other words, make what you think about something totally different by renewing your mind. Be transformed. Your life will follow your thoughts. And your life will follow your belief. You are the sum total of what you think. Absolutely. You are the sum total of what you think, of what your mind dwells on. So if you think I'm sick all the time or you're sick all the time, well, most likely people become sick and sickly all the time. That's their thinking, that mindset is going there. Because your mind will direct who you are and will direct the path that your life takes. That's the reason why it's so important. And the scripture talks about this over and over again, about keeping your mind renewed. In 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2, it says this, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Just as your soul. So your physical life and who you are and the blessings that come into your life in your daily life is in direct correlation to what's going on inside of you. We know that when we talk about the soul, we're usually talking about the mind, the will, and the intellect. The decision-making process that goes on inside of your life. In his book, Renewing the Mind, Casey Treat says this. He says, all success in the Christian life starts in the inside of a person and flows out. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 35, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. When our soul prospers, we have good treasure, which we can bring forth. But when our souls are poor or full of negative thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs, we have evil treasure, which bring forth defeat, despair, and problems. When we buy into the lie that the things outside of us are controlling the outcome of our lives, we enter into bondage. So many people really believe that if the government was different, if their workers' union was different, or if they would do something, or if their company would make a new policy, their lives would be successful. The fact is, although those outer things may have some minor influence on life, what is in you controls what kind of life you experience. I want to tell you something. Doesn't matter what happens in November, if you haven't made the right decisions in your own heart and spirit and renewed your mind according to the Word of God, it doesn't matter the outcome. It doesn't matter the outcome. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. So what does that mean about people who don't really hold to his teaching? You kind of go there with that. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, you need to just kind of take that home and just kind of meditate on it for a week. Spend some time in that one little passage of Scripture, knowing the truth and the truth producing freedom in your life. You see, when we begin to renew our mind, what we're doing is you're not like doing this replacement thing all the time. What you're really doing is you're saying, I'm going to bring my mind in alignment with what God's Word says. There's a difference between the two. Because the first one is behavior modification. I'm trying to replace these things in here so that I can do behavior modification so that I'm around people I can speak like a Christian and act like a Christian and do things that Christians do. So we go through this behavior modification, but when things get really tough, that goes out the window. But when we transform our mind, what we're doing is we're bringing our life into alignment with what God's Word says. So that our life and our walk and who we are comes into obedient alignment to what God says, and our mind begins to think that way. So what you have to do is you have to practice God's thoughts until they become your own. It's not just this behavior modification. It's where you literally take the nature inside of you and begin to transform it by meditating on God's Word, practicing God's Word, and walking out God's Word until it becomes second nature. It becomes part of you. And that's what it means to be transformed. Only when we've heard, received, and renewed our minds to the Word of God is the truth in us. This is the foundation for a prosperous soul. We must accept God's Word as the highest and final authority. It's higher than religious traditions, church decrees, family and cultural traditions, and every other order of life. God has exalted His Word even above His name. Psalms 138 and verse 2. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will stand forever. So, the second one, renew your mind. First one, be a part of a life-giving community. Let's move on down for the sake of time here. The third one is this. There's a couple of scriptures if you want to write those down. Psalms 19, verse 14. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be pleasing. If you look up that word in the Hebrew, where he talks about the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, the word meditation talks about murmuring. It means self-talk. So how do you talk to yourself? Is it pleasing to God? Food for thought. Number three, don't navigate your life according to your feelings. Don't navigate your life according to your feelings. They will lie to you. They will lie to you. We must live by the truth, keep our minds focused on what the truth is, and allow the truth to determine our feelings. Feelings are just this, feelings. They go up, they go down. They change with the environment and the weather. They're going to change. You've got to know that. And you have to understand that. So that's the reason we have to have our life directed by truth. Now, God gave us feelings for a reason, and they're great to have. Don't bury them. Don't throw them away. You know, enjoy them. They're a part of who you are. But don't navigate your life according to them. Because if you do, you will find yourself being like a roller coaster Christian. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 19. I won't read the whole thing, but he talks about the fivefold ministry of the church, giving apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and he goes on down to equip the people for works of service. But he says in verse 14, he says, it will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves blown by here and there by every wind of teaching, cunning and craftiness of people of deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, that doesn't mean that you have a right to chew somebody out, even if it's true. We will grow and become in every respect the mature body in Him who is the head, that is in Christ. Just kind of threw that in there. I don't think you guys do that, but some people take that as a license to kind of hurt people, and that's not what He's saying. So don't be guided by your feelings was the third thing. The fourth thing is this. And I know I'm rushing through these because we want to go ahead and finish up tonight, but pursue good counsel. Have people in your life that you trust, that you know are praying people, that have wisdom and insight. I always look for people who are further in the journey than I am. So think about that. When I need good counsel about decisions that I'm making, I look for people who are further in the journey than I am. They either have been through the same thing and they've walked through it and they're doing well, or they're further down the road that I want to travel on. And so those are people I seek out. It may not be the same person every single time. So build you a resume or build you a Rolodex of people that you can connect with and counsel with and find wisdom and direction from. Proverbs 15:22, plans fail for a lack of counsel. Proverbs 1 and verse 5, a wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Chapter 11, verse 14, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Chapter 12, verse 15, he says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. I think we kind of get the picture there. So find people that you can trust and that are further in the journey. Those are some good keys about good counsel. It does you no good to get counsel from individuals whose life is not in order. All right? And I'm not, what I'm saying by that is, you can have a relationship with people, but don't go run into people who their life is struggling and facing difficulty and just kind of messed up and try to get good counsel, because you're just not going to get it. Find people further in the journey that you know can give you some wisdom in the midst of your situation. The last thing is simply this. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Don't ever sit down. You're going to face some moments in life, and you're going to go through some struggles. You're going to go through some difficult times, and you're going to face some issues that's going to want to just cause you to just sit right there where you're at and not move. And because that's probably the most comfortable thing to do. Maybe the most comfortable thing, you know, when I get down and depressed sometimes, all I want to do is just sleep. And a lot of times that's beneficial because rest is good. Rest is good. But in your mind and in your heart, always be setting goals for yourself. I know this is tough right now, but this is where I want to be. How do I get there, God? How do I get there, God? This is where I want to go to. I know I'm feeling this right now, but tomorrow I really want to be feeling this way. So set goals. Keep moving forward. Don't sit out on the inside. Stay in pursuit. Despair is a killer, and when we allow it to catch up to us, it'll take residence in our spirit and will suck the life out of you. Keep your mind focused, renewed, and moving through your dilemma. The nation of Israel were never meant to live in the wilderness for 40 years. They were meant to travel through a wilderness and into the promised land. But the reason why they stayed was disobedience. So don't be disobedient and sitting down. Keep moving forward. Allow God to strengthen your life and to build and to move through you. You can look there in Numbers chapter 13, verses 26 through 33, as it shares that story. And as we see the spies went into the promised land, we see those that come back. And what did they want to do? They wanted to sit down. They said, these guys are bigger than we are. We are grasshoppers in their eyes. But Joshua and Caleb said, doesn't matter how big they are, we know that God is able. We need to go forward. We need to go forward. And that's where we're at in our life. And so you may be in the midst of a difficult situation. You may be in the midst of a difficult struggle. I want to tell you something. If this message wasn't for you tonight, it was for me, because I've been encouraging myself with this word all week long, because I need to keep moving forward in my thinking and in my heart and renewing my mind on a regular basis and staying part of a life-giving community and staying positive and staying focused in what God has. And these, are, I think, are just five little principles that if you'll hold on to these, they'll help you through these moments. To not be a survivor, but be a what? A sir thriver, that's right. Because there is a little bit of surviving that goes on. But that's not what you want to be, just surviving. You want to be thriving, and that's what God has called you to do. Amen?
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.